Well, good evening. And it's good to see you here tonight in the house of God, worshiping with us, and worshiping Him. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs tonight, Proverbs chapter 31, talking about the marks of a godly woman. We talked this morning about what it means to be a godly mother and how she is a gift to us. And continuing on the theme of Mother's Day, I'm going to talk about what it is for a mother to be a godly woman, and also, as I said this morning, how we can be just a godly person in general, and how God can speak to our lives. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, and we'll be reading that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read. Father, we do want to thank you for all you do for us. We thank you for the salvation you give us, that you have made it possible for us to come to you, to have a relationship with you, that we can know that our Savior, and we can know that you have forgiven us, and that you have made us whole in your sight. And God, I just pray that you would speak to us tonight as we learn these things, as we apply to our lives. And even though it may be a Mother's Day message, it can be applied to everyone. And I just pray that you would speak to every one of us here and show us your truth and your will and your ways. We love you, God, and we praise you, and we just pray again that you would speak to us. Give me the words to speak, God, that whatever is said will come from you and flow from your throne. And it's all these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. You may remain seated. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall not need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, with the fruit of her hand she plants a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth out not by night. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivers girdles unto the merchant. Strength and ardor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household, and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. My daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gate. May God bless the reading of the Scripture tonight. The marks of a good woman. A lot of things that were said tonight in this passage, a lot of things that we can apply and draw from. But there are a few that I will be looking at, and I touched on it somewhat this morning. The first thing is, she is worthy. Second, she is caring. And then finally, she has great character. That is, those are the marks, three marks of a good woman, of a godly woman. She is worthy, she is caring, and she has great character. First thing is that we do see is that a godly woman, is worthy. She is worth a great amount. You look at verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? And we stop there at that question, and you ponder that for a minute, and you begin to wonder and to think about that. Who can find a virtuous woman? And you could take that a little farther, I guess, and who could find a virtuous person? But being Mother's Day, we'll look at the woman side of that. And we'll take the question that is asked, who can find a virtuous woman? I'm sure that it's easier than we think. I think many of the ladies, many of you ladies here tonight are virtuous women. You're faithful to church. You're godly women. You're kind, compassionate, all of that. So it's not too hard to find. But you look at that and you think about what a virtuous woman is. And then you look at what it says the rest of verse 10. Her price is far above rubies. You know, to find a virtuous woman is far greater than anything else that one could find. And in particular, that a man could find in a wife. You know, I can tell you from experience, as mean or harsh as it may sound, that I met, I talk a lot about my college, I know, but when I was in college, I worked with youth, okay? I worked with some teenage girls that I don't think were headed down the path of virtuality, you know, being a virtuous person. I don't know how they turned out. They're probably, I'm 31, they'd be about 23, 24 now. But I know some of those girls were some of the meanest people I'd ever met in my life. And I just have a hard time believing they became virtuous women. And I can tell you this, had I been a 13, 14-year-old boy at the time going to that church when they were 13 to 14-year-old girls, I would have wanted nothing to do with them. They were okay looking, but it wasn't so much that as it was that they just were mean. They were mean. They were mean to me. They were disrespectful to other adults that came, and it got to the point where I almost told the pastor, "Look, like, we brought them in on the bus, and their parents didn't take them to church. Their parents didn't care about church, which is kind of why they were the way they were." But I almost got to the point where I told the pastor, "Look, we're not making any ground with them." And I know that sounds mean, but I can tell you from experience, had I been their age and been the person I was when I was their age, I would have wanted nothing to do with them. I would not have been their boyfriend. I would not have wanted to sit by them or anything. Because even at that age, I could tell that when you're a man, you want a woman that's going to love you, is going to care about you, is going to be virtuous. And any man will tell you, any of you men in here, I'm sure, would tell you that your wife is one of, you chose your wife because that she had those characteristics. She was someone of great virtue. And I can tell you, ladies, that being a virtuous woman is, number one, hard to find. I mean, maybe not hard to find in a church, maybe not hard to find here, but trust me, it's hard to find. And trust me, it's hard to find. Very hard to find. You can bet on that. I'm not 31 and single for no reason. But a virtuous woman is hard to find, and she is worth more than anything else. Far more than rubies or gold or silver or money or whatever. And one of the verses in Proverbs says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Of course, a good wife finds a good thing. But it is difficult to find someone, and when you find someone, you know that you have found something that is more precious than any gem or gold or any kind of monetary thing, material possession you could ever find. And there's nothing more attractive in a woman than her relationship with God and the virtuous attitude that she has, the virtuous demeanor that she has. And there's nothing more unattractive than one that is mean. I've seen women that I've looked at, and I said physically, I looked at them and thought, man, she's a 10, and all she did was open her mouth, and she went from a 10 to a 2. The things she said, or pop a cigarette in her mouth or something. I'm sorry if you smoke, but I mean, you can tell that the way they act, the attitudes they have, will drop their attractive value far more than their physical looks. There's not enough makeup on the planet to make someone that is not a woman that is not virtuous look attractive. There's just not. There's not enough makeup on earth that can cover enough of the physical to make up for what's inside. It is. A virtuous woman is something far greater and far worth more than anything on earth, especially to a man who is looking. I mean, if you look at Eve, for example, the first lady in the world, you may remember God created Eve for Adam to be a helpmeet, to be his companion, to be his lover, to be someone that he could confide in and have a relationship with. And God saw that that was good. And God blessed the husband-wife relationship even back then. And he was, it was important to Adam. It was important to God that Adam had that. And so God has made women for men and men for women and has made that relationship. And virtue is a high priority. And I know the women, I know you would say that as well, looking for a husband. But it's not Father's Day. So, but for a woman, it is something that is, it's incomparable who you are and your virtue. And so we need to understand, first of all, for the ladies, for the mothers, for the women here, don't lose your virtuality. I don't even know, virtuality doesn't sound right. There's got to be another word, virtuousness, I guess. The virtuality is, you know, like those little things you put on your eye, virtual like stuff. But anyway, don't lose the virtue that you have and the righteousness and godliness that you have, because that is far worth more than anything. And for the rest of us here that are not women, the men here, same thing for us. It is attractive. I heard girls say one time in seminary, I heard some girls say that there's nothing more attractive than to a woman than a man sold out to Christ. I heard some girls say that a couple times in seminary, and of course, maybe I wasn't very godly. I don't know, but it's sure something wasn't working. But anyway, it wasn't that. But that's what they said, and so it is important. So we don't want to lose our righteousness that is in us. But the next thing I want to share is not only is a woman is she worthy, a godly woman is worthy, but she is caring. She is caring. Now I did talk on this a little bit this morning, so I won't hound on it too much here tonight, but a woman that is caring, she takes care of her house, and we saw that while reading this passage tonight. Verse 15 says, she rises, and while it is yet night, she gives meat to her household and a portion to her handmaidens, to her maidens. She does so in the evening and the morning. She wakes in the morning to make sure there's food there for her family. And I can remember when I was a kid growing up, you know, I would get up. I don't eat breakfast anymore, but when I was a kid, I did. I would eat breakfast. And there were times, I guess, I'd pour my own cereal. But every morning I'd get up, my mom was always in there. She'd always help my dad get his breakfast. And he was never there when I got up, but he had already gone to work by then. But she'd always make sure he had what he needed, made sure that we had what we needed. Now, we didn't really do anything cooking, didn't have time for it. But she made sure we had the cereal and milk. But she, even if she wasn't supplying it personally, just the presence that she was there made me know she cared. I mean, it wasn't one of those things, you know, feed yourself, if you die, you die. I mean, she cared that I ate, she cared that I had what I needed. And I remember that. She was always there every morning. And she'd get us ready to go to school, comb our hair when we were younger, comb our hair and make sure we brushed our teeth and everything, to get us going to school. And that's the work of a mother, and always up in the morning and always never going to bed at night until everything is settled, everything is taken care of. And it mentions here that she does it for her maidens as well. And I know none of us here have maids or servants, but you think about that, she even helps the poor. A caring woman even reaches out to those around her. Maybe there's someone at work that you feel for. Maybe you have a coworker that has some children that they have needs, and you do what you can to help out, or, you know, you supply need for the needy in some way. And that is always something that a woman does. She always takes care of those that are in need. But also, a caring woman, it mentions in verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household is clothed with scarlet. They have what they need at the appropriate time. They have the clothing they need, whether it's, if it's cold, they have the jackets they need or whatever. She always makes sure her family is clothed. And in clothed, it says in scarlet, you know, in a beautiful garment. And it's not just clothing, but the best clothing that they can possibly have. But I also think it's interesting in verse 22, it says she makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. It says that about what she wears. And I tend to think at this point, in 21, it's talking more about how she provides the clothing for her children. I think here in verse 22, where it says her clothing is silk and purple, I guess it could be taken literally, but I take it more of a, I don't know if metaphor is the right way, metaphorically or figuratively, I guess. But I think it's more of the idea, not so much that she wears silk and purple, but the purple clothing was always seen as royalty. It was always identified as royal clothing. And I think what it's trying to say to me is that a woman is royalty in her household. She is queen. She always makes herself look nice, and that's one thing you got to say about women. I mean, men look okay, we do okay, but women go to extremes sometimes even to make themselves look nice and to always make themselves look up. It doesn't matter what's going on. I mean, I saw one time a girl, she was in seminary, she said, I'm going to a baseball game, and she looks like she was going to prom. And I'm thinking, well, I won't tell you what I thought, but I'm thinking, why are you dressed up like that? You're going to a baseball game. Go put your hat on and shorts on. You don't need to wear a skirt and makeup to a baseball game. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, she made herself look nice to go to a baseball game for whatever reason. But that's my point. It doesn't matter what a woman's in. She can be going down to the store to get bread, and she'll put on a dress and put on her makeup and do her hair. And then an hour later, I could have gone to the store 20 times and gotten bread. But she's going to look nice. But not only that, she is royalty to her family. She dresses in purple. She is queen. She is important. She is more than just the woman. She is royalty to them. And I think in a lot of ways, we need to thank our mothers for what they have given to us. And not just in giving us life and bringing us into the world, but the sacrifices, the things they've done throughout our lives for us, providing our clothing, providing our food, and making sure that we're cared for and healthy, all of those things. And a godly woman is a caring woman. And if a woman is not a caring woman, then she is not a godly woman. And there is no gray area there. If you're not godly, you're not caring. If you're not caring, you're not godly. So, I mean, that's my opinion on the matter, and that's the way I feel about it. Is that if you're going to be a truly godly woman, you have to care for your family. Provide their clothing. Provide their food. I don't mean take a spoon and stuff it in their mouth, but make sure that you're there caring for them. Finally, the last section I wanted to look at, the last thing, the mark of a godly woman, is that she has great character. A godly woman has great character. It says, verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Her characteristics are strength. She is physically and emotionally strong. You know, I know that you say that, and sometimes, well, it's kind of funny because you say women are physically and emotionally strong and they cry a lot. No offense, but my sister, one of my sisters does. She'll cry, you drop a hat, she cries, literally. But, I guess it depends on what kind of hat you're dropping. But anyway, but I think in a lot of ways that is strength. I mean, that's one problem that men have. We don't cry like we should. I don't cry near like I should. And, you know, you get stressed out or whatever, it's not healthy for you. But crying is not a sign of weakness and all of that. Women are emotionally strong. They have to go through, many of them have to go through the things that they go through. You hear these stories about women who, you know, their husbands beat them and they cheat on them and their kids disrespect them, and yet somehow they're still alive. They haven't, you know, bought the farm, so to speak, and ended it all or whatever. I mean, women are emotionally strong, have to go through the things they go through to have their kids come home from school and tell them they got picked on all day and don't want to talk to them and they're crying. I mean, that takes an emotionally strong woman, an emotionally strong person to deal with that, and a self-controlled person not want to go beat up the kid. But women are emotionally strong, and they are physically strong. And I'm not saying necessarily they're going to, you know, win a heptathlon or whatever it is for the women in the Olympics. I think it's heptathlon they call it. We do 7 events. I'm not saying that they're physically strong in that sense, but my goodness, look what they have to do in child labor. I got to give you that one. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. So, I mean, any woman that's given birth to a child or wanted to, that's, that in itself is physical strength. You can't be a wimp and do that. So, women, God has blessed them, blessed women with that, and she is strong emotionally, she is strong physically, she is pulled together and gathered her, has gathered herself in strength. And the Bible tells us she is honorable, she is filled with wisdom, filled with kindness. Those are the characteristics of godly woman. And it also tells in verse 28 that her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also and praises her. She lives a life in such a way that she gains the respect of her husband and her children. And if you want to see a truly a kind and wise and honorable, physically strong and emotionally strong woman, yes, those are characteristics of a woman. But if you want to see a woman of strong character, look at the way she's treated by her kids and her husband. If you got a if you've got a woman whose kids and husband don't want to have anything to do with her, then she may not be having the greatest character in her life. But you got a woman whose kids will do anything they tell her to do and that she tells them to do, and a woman whose husband will do things for her, go out of the way for her, that's a woman of great character. And I think there's a lot to be said about how a husband and children treat their mothers and wives. It shows the character that she has. But also we know that the greatest thing about a woman, the greatest characteristic a woman can have, and where it all kind of centers around, is what it says in verse 30, a very popular verse. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. One of the tragedies of life is that we do have to age, isn't it? We have to get older, and we don't look as good as we used to look, and we're not as flexible as we used to be, and not as agile. We can't ride roller coasters anymore, and things like that. We can't do the things we used to do. And we get older, we age, our body breaks down, our looks break down, and it's just exactly what it says. It says favor is deceitful, but charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. You know, beauty is fleeting. Beauty will fade. We all will get older. We will not always be, and I'm not, I mean, we will not always be what we look like at 21. We know that's true. And charm can only go so far. In fact, you know, you don't want to marry someone or have a relationship with someone just because they're charming, because that doesn't mean a whole lot. That's about as shallow as a 2-inch kiddie pool. So you don't want to just be charming. You don't want to just have someone in your life that's charming and beautiful, because that's shallow and that's weak. That's nothing. Charm is deceitful. Charm is lying. Charm, it misrepresents the person. You know, anybody can be charming for 6 months to get you want to marry them. I've heard too many stories about that. I'm sure you have too. Charm is a lie. Charm is deceiving. Beauty is vain and fleeting, and it's not important because it's going to pass. You know, we're going to get older. We're going to fade. Our looks will fade. We know that to be true. And I'm not trying to insult anyone or hurt anybody's feelings. We know it's true. It fades. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You see, the outward appearance means nothing, but what God is inside is the true measure of the beauty of the woman. What you are inside is the true measure of the beauty of your person, of who you are. That is what counts. That is what is most important. Fearing the Lord, that is the greatest characteristic above being honorable, wise, kind, strong, all of those things, and even having great character as applied to you by your wife, your husband and children. The greatest characteristic a woman can have, and for that matter, a great characteristic anyone can have, but the greatest characteristic a woman can have is to have the fear of God within her. There's nothing else more attractive and nothing else more substantiating in life than to be in the fear of the Lord. And I want to challenge the women tonight, our mothers here, and even if you're not a mother, I think all of you here are mothers, but women. But anyway, even if you're not a mother, and even the men here, but in particular being Mother's Day for the ladies, the mothers here, I want to challenge you to have the fear of God within you. Don't worry about your looks. It doesn't matter how much weight you gain or lose. It doesn't matter how many wrinkles you get or don't. It doesn't matter, you know, how nice, well, it doesn't matter how nice you are, but charm, it doesn't mean anything. Don't be charming. Don't worry about being charming. Be in the fear of God. You want people to respect you. You want people to like you. You want people to honor you. You want your family to honor you. Fear God. That is where it starts in your life. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Our hymn invitation tonight is number 179, Near to the Heart of God. That's right. Near to the Heart of God. And all the ladies here need tonight to be near to the heart of God, but not just our women, but our men too. Everyone here needs to be near to the heart of God. It's important that we do have that fear of God, that we are strong, wise, kind, all of those things, caring. And it's important that we are worthy, we live a life that is worthy of God. And so whatever it is that God has laid on your heart tonight, whatever He has shown you, won't you tonight be obedient to Him? Father, we thank You for what You've taught us. God, we do thank You for our mothers and how great they are to us and what a blessing it is to have them in our lives. We just can't say that enough and think it enough, because I know personally how much blessing it is to have my mother, and all of us here would probably attest to that with their mothers. But God, there are certain ways we are to live our lives, certain expectations You have for us as individuals, for our mothers here as well, and our ladies here tonight. That there is a way You want us to live that's honoring to You, that's worthy of You. And I pray that everyone here tonight, man and woman, will not leave here until they have made, have given You the proper fear, have feared You, have loved You, have had the characteristics that we've mentioned of kindness, wisdom, strength, honor, that they're caring people, and that they live a life that is worthy and far more valuable than any money could ever be. God, I just pray that tonight that we would seek You in that sense, that we would seek to reach out to You, show us what it is You want us to change, and who You want us to be. We love You, dear Lord, and we pray all these things. We praise You and bless our time of invitation now. And thank You again for speaking to us. It's all these things we ask and pray in the name of